There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with us is TJ Inman. And today we take a look back at Indiana's 51-10 loss to Ohio State. And then we'll look forward to Indiana's next matchup against UConn coming up on Saturday at noon. But before we do that, a word from our friends over at MyBookie. If you found $100 on the street, would you pick it up or keep walking? Of course you'd take the money. So why do you keep picking winners and not betting on them? That's why I go to MyBookie. It's fast, it's easy, and they pay you when you win. Let's face it, when you're betting, it's just as important as who you're betting on. Where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. I wouldn't be telling you guys to bet with them if they weren't the best. Do the smart thing if you're going to bet this football season. Bet with MyBookie. Join now and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code CHAIR, that's promo code CHAIR, C-H-A-I-R, to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. Now we bring in TJ Inman. TJ, happy Monday to you. How are you doing?
Yeah, doing well. Certainly not the game we were hoping for Saturday. I don't think that the results was surprising, but, you know, Ohio State overwhelmed Indiana. It was never a contest. And I think that what it showed us more than anything is that IU's offense really, really needs Michael Penix.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Let's dive into that Ohio State game first. You know, one of the things I noticed was just how quick the Indiana faithful, and I'll use that term loosely, was to jump off the bandwagon and go into full panic mode and kind of seem to forget that Ohio State was the number 6 team in the country. They have an all-world quarterback in Justin Fields, who's five-star kid coming out of high school, who didn't really play that much at UConn. You have J.K. Dobbins, or at Georgia. You had J.K. Dobbins, who is the first Ohio State freshman, first Ohio State running back to run for 1,000 yards during his freshman and sophomore campaigns. And he's on his way to do it again this year, and he'll probably be playing on Sundays next year. They have Chase Young, who basically looked like he was picking up defensive linemen and using them to swat other guys as, like, weapons. The defense is legit. The special teams are legit. The wide receivers are legit. It was like, hey, guys, yeah, IU did not play well, and they did not play well at all. But the other guys on the other side were pretty darn good. And, you know, you saw it's a game where, you know, you hate to call it a meaningless loss or a meaningless game, but, you know, that's what it was. It was, you know, a loss to the number 6 team in the country. Now, IU needed to – the way IU lost, I think, is the reason why fans are a little bit are very upset. You know, you came out, there's a penalty on the first drive. Ohio State comes down, dominates. Yeah, they missed the field goal, but you know you're missing Michael Penix. Peyton Ramsey's first 6 plays go for -7 yards. All of a sudden, people turn on Kalen DeBoer and don't realize, hey, there's a reason the offense last year looked like the offense it did. It was because you had Peyton Ramsey running it, and, you know, you're limited into what you could call. And so, you know, I don't think people, I don't know if they don't understand it or didn't realize it or just their passion takes over and they don't think about it. But you got to realize the reason that the four play, you know, four of the six plays were passes behind the line of scrimmage because that's where they could throw it with Peyton Ramsey. You know, they took several shots downfield. They weren't even close. You know, people were being kind, saying that, you know, they were a step or two away on some of these deep balls. They're not even close. That's why they don't get the pass interference penalties and things like that. It's because that ball's not even close to the receiver. You know, the pick six, Bjorsen was wide open before that. He held onto the ball too long, floated it out there, and Damon Arnette came by, raced 96 yards, you know, for a touchdown, things like that. Ball didn't get to guys in space and time. And, look, I like Peyton Ramsey as a person. I think he's a stand-up guy, and I think he's a guy you want in your foxhole. But it's clear as day why Michael Penix won this job coming out of camp, and it stinks that he wasn't able to play. But, you know, hopefully he gets whatever's ailing him correct, and they probably don't need him this week. But you'll need him the rest of the season because IU's offense cannot survive with Peyton Ramsey behind an offensive line who got exposed on Saturday. And, yeah, they got exposed by a pretty darn good defensive line. But, you know, we'll see that. The defense, again, missed tackles came up. They dropped a few chances as a takeaway. They just lacked that edge and that toughness, I think, up front. I thought DeMarcus Elliott played really well, and Michael Ziemba played pretty well. But outside of that, they need somebody to step up and be a leader. They need somebody in that room who on Saturdays could get in somebody's face and say, let's go, guys. Let's pick this up and let's hit somebody and put somebody on the ground because that was not the defensive performance that I thought. We both gave projections that IU would lose by, you know, two or three scores. And while that was with Michael Penix at quarterback, we didn't think that Ohio State would just do what they did at will. And that was a disappointing part. And then you had special teams. For the most part, it was pretty good. Your kickoff team was good. Your coverage team was good. Logan Justice was good in his two attempts. But it's like what Hayden Whitehead forgot how to punt the ball. Once he had that punt blocked, and I think you saw it coming. The punt before that was a short rugby-style kick. You saw it coming. They went back to rolling him out to the left, and a guy just got blocked. Went unblocked, blocked the kick, and I was very fortunate that ball did not stay in the end zone for a touchdown, and it spun out of bounds. But the rest of the game is like Ohio State was living rent-free in Hayden Whitehead's in his head. He had a 12-yard punt, and it was like, let's, you know, we got to be a little bit mentally tougher than this. But, you know, we'll see. It's a game that Tom Allen today said, you can't turn this loss into two losses. You cannot let this loss define the season. It's exactly what it was. It was a butt-kicking from Ohio State. It happens. It's going to happen to everybody. I think Ohio State is probably a playoff team, or at least should be in the discussion if they run the table in the Big Ten. But it's a loss. You got to go out, flush it, and get on to UConn. Anything to add, TJ?
I would say that I have to give credit to Ohio State. They are better than I thought they were. I think that the offense that they are running this year, which features J.K. Dobbins and Master Teague, it's a very good backup running back. It features those two guys more than Urban Meyer's offense did. I think that that plays to their benefit. I think that the Buckeyes, their receivers, look, they catch everything. I mean, they're quick and they're big, but what stood out was that they catch everything. Justin Fields is more accurate than I thought he was going to be, so credit to him. And then defensively, it was apparent that they did not respect Indiana's vertical passing game, which why should they without Penix out there? They crowded the box and made it impossible for IU's offense to execute anything. And that's the exact game plan that I would have against Peyton Ramsey as well. You know, what stands out, and we experienced this all last year, and this is not to take a shot at Peyton Ramsey, but, you know, announcers or commentators or analysts, they all say the same things about Peyton Ramsey. If it's all intangibles, it's all, oh, great leader, you know, a guy you'd want your daughter to, you know, to bring home to your daughter, such a good team guy. I have no reason to doubt that that's the case, but nobody ever talks about his arm, and there's a reason for that, and it shows up against good teams like Ohio State. So I'll be interested to see, one, if Michael Penix can give it a go against UConn, two, if he cannot, how Indiana's offense adjusts and responds to their reality without Penix. Hopefully, Michael Penix can give it a go. We will see. It's likely to be another game-time decision, I would imagine. And we'll see on Saturday against UConn, certainly a different caliber of opponent than the Buckeyes. But and then I'll also be interested to see, number one, just overall, how does the team bounce back from that very public beating that they took? How does the team bounce back? You know, we talked about it going into the game. We'll talk about it out of the game. You can't let that turn into two defeats. You have to come out responding at UConn and get to 3-1. The UConn game is one that you cannot lose. So we'll talk about them here next. But I will say that if Ohio State plays the way that they did against Indiana, there is not a team in the Big Ten that's going to beat them.
No, there's not, especially after a really, I would call it a wild weekend in the Big Ten, where teams that they just did not look, the conference as a whole did not look great. Question, TJ, that, you know, I've been thinking about is, you know, being a Yankee fan this year, it seems like everybody gets hurt, and then when they get hurt, it's always the worst-case scenario.
Sure.
If Penix cannot go this week, do you start Jack Tuttle?
I would. I don't think Indiana will, but I would.
You know, it's to the point where you gotta see what he could do with the reins off a little bit. You know, he's played in garbage time the last two games. You know what you have in Peyton Ramsey, and do you feel comfortable enough against a team like UConn to give him a shot, see what you have, just in case it's a worst-case scenario with Michael Penix? Because
right,
you cannot survive with Peyton Ramsey against Michigan State, against Penn State, probably against – I don't think you win more than four games with Peyton Ramsey as your starting quarterback.
That's
the concern.
What is your ceiling? If, and look, we have no reason to believe this is the case, but if Michael Penix,
this is me as a paranoid Yankee fan who,
exactly,
God forbid,
exactly,
somebody walks down to first base, it's because they're hurt, and everybody's been hurt this year. But it's the worst case
Penix
scenario.
Is out for the season, what is your ceiling? Because I was going to say four games as well, and it sounds like you agree with that. Because I don't think we beat Maryland. I don't think we beat Northwestern. I don't think we beat Purdue, unless Purdue's without their starting quarterback as well, because they looked a mess without Sindelar. So, you know, I think maybe that was a toss-up. But I think the ceiling is probably five. I do not think a bowl game is possible without Penix.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, people say, well, it's more, you know, there were more issues than just the quarterback, and there were. You know, the run game has been non-existent. Run game has been non-existent, and that's very concerning. And that's something you you got to figure out. You can't win. I don't think you win six games, even with Penix, without some semblance of a running game. You don't have to run for 200 yards a game, but yeah, it has to at least pick up four or five, you know, four and a half, 4 yards per carry. It was just atrocious on Saturday against Ohio State, and you know, it's an issue. I don't know if you're pushing the panic button just yet. If you can't run the ball against UConn, you go ahead and push the panic button. But, you know, through the first three games, and one of them being Ohio State with an all-world defensive line, it's you're aware that it's not performing well, but it's kind of like your oil change light. We'll get to it. But when that check engine comes light, if you're not running against UConn, that check engine light's going to come on. Now you're concerned. But yeah, we'll see what IU does. Coming up next week is the game against UConn. It's at noon at Memorial Stadium in Bloomington. IU all time against UConn is 0-2, and two of the uglier games in recent memory. I think it was a beat down up in Stores in 2002 at the 34-13 to open their stadium up, and then a 14-7 just mind-numbingly awful game in 2006 in the rain in front of probably about 15 people. That was just awful. So hopefully IU can bounce back. They're looking for their first ever win against UConn, and we'll see what they could do. UConn's coming in at 1-1. They hung on to beat Wagner earlier in the season. They lost again at home against Illinois. They're looking better, but they were god awful last year. So we'll see what that does. They bring in an offense that could score early. In the half, 17 first quarter points, 21 third quarter points. But outside of that, in the second and fourth quarters, they've scored 9 points. Their defense is all right early. They don't really run the ball that well either, averaging 2.7 yards per carry. They played two quarterbacks. Mike Beaudry started the opener against Wagner. He went 14-21. For 158 yards. Jack Zergiotis, he was 21-31 with two picks and 278 yards against Illinois. So we'll see what they could bring. They could bring to the table. I don't think it'll be all I don't think UConn's all that good. You're higher on them than me, TJ. So what are your thoughts on UConn?
Well, I don't think they're that good either. But I do think they're better than they were last year. I do not think that their defense will be historically bad as it was a season ago. So when I feel like they're better, I mean, we're talking, you know, the bar was just about as low as it can get. So I don't think that they are, for instance, I don't think this is one of the five worst teams in FBS, which last year it was. So I think that they are improved strictly from a number of players getting experience last year that now have a year under their belts. But I do not think that's a good team. I do expect I'll mispronounce his name as well, but Zach Zergiotis, I do expect that he will be the quarterback for them. Beaudry was, I believe he's questionable for this game, but the other quarterback is a freshman from Canada, actually, Montreal, I think. And I think he offers them a higher upside for the future, so I would be surprised if he's not the guy. They'll give him a chance. He did spark them a little bit against Illinois. They put up, a decent offensive showing in that game. But still, even saying that, it was under 300 yards, and Illinois turned around and got hit up for almost 500 yards against Eastern Michigan. So Hard to say if being competitive with Illinois is a feather in the cap or not, but I think Indiana should be able to, as you mentioned, run the ball well, should be able to throw the ball well. But for me, a lot of this is going to hinge on who's quarterback for Indiana, and as a result, what's your game plan? And right now, we don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, and offensively, those are the things that I want to see is can you run the ball? Can you establish a run? You should be able to beat this team with Peyton Ramsey at quarterback. Can you get some of your big guys going, like Nick Westbrook, Ty Freifogel? Can you get some of those guys ready to go for the rest of the Big Ten season? You got a game against Michigan State the week after this one, before an open week, and then you get into the meat of your Big Ten season. You get Rutgers, you get some other guys, Rutgers, Maryland, Nebraska, open week, Northwestern. Your season could be defined pretty quickly in those games as well. So you got to get things going. It's you're out of that first quarter of the season. Now you're entering the second quarter. You got to be hitting your stride as you go into the second quarter of the season. So I'd like to see the defense play well. I don't think they'll pitch a shutout, but you got to do the little things well. Got to tackle. They got to get takeaways. Last year, I think they had 26 takeaways. This year, they only have two. One of the reasons the defense kept them in games last year sometimes was because they got those takeaways, not because they were all that good at tackling and stopping the run and things like that. It was the takeaways. Now you're not getting the takeaways, and so your defense looks like it's it's sprung a leak a little bit more. And, you see them coming on the field late and adjusting late they're fixable issues. That's the thing. It's not like, these guys, they're running the wrong way or it's like little giants, but there are things that need to be fixed that are fixable, and you got to fix them this week, because if you don't fix them this week, when are you going to fix them? It's, you're going up to a very angry Michigan State team the following week. You're going to get a Rutgers team who's probably going through their death throes and might give you that game that you go, wow, they won that game last year in the middle of firing a coach. So it's a sneaky, important game. A lot of people it doesn't excite them, but it's a sneaky, important game for IU to beat UConn here. Wash away the bad taste from last week a little bit, and you head up to East Lansing with some momentum. Defensively, what are your major concerns, TJ?
Defensively, number one, the tackling. Number two, the lack of takeaways. Number three is kind of the absence of a playmaker. There's a lot of guys that we felt like could be that player. At safety, you've got Brian Fitzgerald, has not been him. He has not been bad, but hasn't really stood out in any meaningful way yet. Marcelino Ball he was poor in the opener, and he's been largely invisible since. Linebacker, Raekwon Jones, I think, has had a solid season so far, but nobody has stepped forward as a real playmaker there at linebacker. And then at defensive line, we've seen some flashes from guys, but there has not been one consistent playmaker at defensive line either. So, we need to have a couple of playmakers step up here against UConn. Those things all kind of go hand in hand, but those are the big things that I'll be looking for on Saturday on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I think the most consistent defender has been DeMarcus Elliott the last 2 weeks. I think he's had about three or four tackles for loss, two and a half sacks, however you want to count them. And he's a high motor guy. And one of the things that I think impressed people last week about him was that when he got his sack, Indiana was getting its butt kicked, and he just, you know, he gave his teammate a high five. Let's go line it up and do it again. There was no flash or things like that. It was, hey, we made a play. Let's go back and make another one. So I think DeMarcus Elliott is becoming a key and maybe has a chance to become a fan favorite as well on the defensive line. But as you said, TJ, the keys on defensive tackling, takeaways, and leadership. You said playmaking. I think there needs to be a leader needs to come out of this. We mentioned Marcelino Ball. It's something, you know, it was like the last two games, my first question after the game to you guys on the thread was, did Marcelino even play? He has been largely invisible. And he was a guy that I think everybody counted on, and he didn't come on until late last year. But everybody's been counting on this guy to be great, especially after that All-American freshman year. And he hasn't lived up to those standards. It's weird. I don't know what's going on with him, but he needs to step up and, you know, make some plays, be the leader of this defense. He's your senior playmaker. Somebody needs to get in these guys' faces and say, hey, let's go make a play. We're getting embarrassed here. Let's go make a play. And I don't think any of these young guys have that yet. And it's up to your older guys, Raekwon Jones, Marcelino Ball, Andre Brown. These guys have to make plays. And another side note on the defense is, yeah, Reese Taylor got burnt on a play there. And are we really going to waste Reese Taylor on defense?
Yep.
I mean, it's, you know, he's not returning punts. He's not returning kicks. David Ellis has done a great job returning kicks. And you've seen Reese Taylor, you know, they wasted him last year. He's a guy who's maybe, what, number three, a corner? You'd think he'd be able to do something on offense.
T1 Mullen looks like he deserves quite a bit more playing time. I would be surprised if Mullen is not in the starting lineup sooner rather than later. So.
Yeah, I thought T1 Mullen played very well against Ohio State. For a guy who's a true freshman in his third game, going against Ohio State, looked like he belonged in coverage. He needs to obviously put on some bulk, you know, to make stops on running backs and things like that. But, you know, it seemed every time that there was a pass breakup, he was nearby. And another thing on defense is, They got to get the calls in faster on defense. Maybe it's just let these guys play because it looks like they're running through mud and things like that. So we'll see. TJ, keys to the game this week.
I mean, we talked about a lot of this, you know, already what we're looking for. It's an attitude game for Indiana. Really a game where they need to show us that, you know, that they're in this fight together, that they are ready to bounce back. You know, a lot of talk about prize fighters. It's time for Indiana to go throw a punch here, metaphorically, obviously. And I would hope to see, look, they're not going to beat UConn the way they did Eastern Illinois, but I want to see that type of emphatic performance on Saturday to make me feel better about going to Michigan State, a team that is gettable. I know it's very tough to win there, but they are gettable because their offense still stinks. Their defense is great, but their offense is still not good. So that's a gettable game. It really is. But for Indiana to feel somewhat confident about going there, they have to play well Saturday. So I'm looking for, number one, the running game. That's what I want to see Indiana crank up. Like you said, if you can't do it against UConn, If you cannot establish that run against UConn with Stevie Scott, Ronnie Walker, Cole Guest, Samson James, whoever, if you can't establish it, then it's a huge red flag for the rest of this season.
Yeah, it definitely is. It's an, as you said, I like that term. It's an attitude game. And this is a game, if IU wins 28-7 but runs for 300 yards, I think I'm okay with that.
I'm good with that. Yep.
Yeah, especially if Peyton Ramsey plays at quarterback. I think you're okay with that going down like that. Of course, you'd like it's not a sexy game to hand the ball off 40 times and do that, but it's an attitude game. I'd like to see the defense play. Team needs to play angry, and it started to play angry last year against Michigan. Now I don't know what happened against Purdue. But this team needs to, and it's something that I talked all offseason about, and I think put in on my things prior to fall camp. You got to play with a sense of urgency. It's not, this is not, oh, hey, our bigger games are coming up. They preach week to week, the biggest game is this week. Well, the biggest game is this week. You got to take on UConn. You got to play angry. You got to play with a sense of urgency. You don't know that you're going to be going in late in the season with a chance to go to a bowl game, especially if you can't get this one. You need a sense of urgency. You got to come out, be aggressive, make some plays, make some tackles, things like that. You got to play pissed off. You just got wiped out at home by Ohio State, which – look, it is not a big deal in the grand scheme of things, but if you're a player and a coach and you're okay with this, you're playing the wrong sport. You got to come out angry and take no prisoners on Saturday. This is you got to show that in the Big Ten you're going to play knock your snot out football. And if I'm an offensive lineman at Indiana, hey, it's a direct challenge to me. We ran, I think it was like 1.3 yards per carry against Ohio State. We haven't run the ball well all year. We got to go out and perform because expectations are a lot higher than what they're doing. And maybe it was a good thing that IU got their butts whooped on Saturday, because I think Peyton Hendershot said this after the game, maybe they thought they're better than they thought they were. And getting your butt whooped is a great way to humble yourselves and say, hey, we're not there yet. And we got to work, and we got to bust our tail in practice and come out and play angry football the rest of the way. You know, everybody's talking about 9-win Indiana with Penix and you know, Punt John Punt comes out with the Bill Connolly stuff. Well, they're expected to win 6, 7, 8 games or whatever, things like that. That's great. Game's not played on paper. And, you know, that's a great graphic that they put out. But games aren't played on paper. You can't take anything for granted. You got steamrolled last week. It's time to take a little self-pride, maybe go steamroll UConn. So, you know, attitude. TJ, you came up with the perfect thing. It's an attitude game. Just like Eastern Illinois was a hit, prove it to me game. This is an attitude game for the rest of the season. Any more keys before we get into predictions, TJ?
No, not for me. I think that covers it, and I'll roll into my prediction. I do think Indiana's going to play well. I do think that they're going to have a chip on their shoulder heading into this one. Look, it might not be a meaningful statement around the Big Ten and certainly not around the country. That's okay. It doesn't matter. All that matters is that Indiana was able to reestablish who they are and who they want to be moving forward. And I think that they get that done on Saturday. I'm going to take the Hoosiers to win. I will go, and this is with Peyton Ramsey playing at quarterback primarily. I think we'll see Ramsey. I think we'll see Tuttle. I do not think we will see Michael Penix this Saturday. No inside information there. That's 100% guess that it's going to be Ramsey and Tuttle. And I'll go with Indiana winning this game 35 to 14. Indiana wins, and I think that they do get that running game going. So I think that's going to be the primary focus and hopefully the outcome.
Are you happy with the 35-14 win?
Depends. Depends on the way it's played. Like we said, if that's with Peyton Ramsey playing at quarterback and with Indiana working really hard to establish the running game and getting it cranked up to where it's a highly efficient and productive day on the ground, and I use in control the whole way, yeah, I'd be happy with it. If it's like a 35-14
right.
that Indiana, you know, has to pull away because it's competitive midway through the third quarter, no, that would feel significantly less good.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. I'm going to take it's a sleepy noon game. I expect a tie.
Right.
It's a bring your own juice kind of game too. I expect probably a crowd of 20,000 or so, especially after the clunker last week. But, you know, we'll see. I think Indiana's going to handle business. They usually bounce back pretty well after one of these games, after a clunker. I'm going to say Indiana 42, UConn 10. UConn's improved. I don't think they're good. I mean, they've improved from absolutely horrible to maybe just horrible. So we'll see. But 42-10, I'd like to see, as we said, the offensive line to get their footing underneath them. I'd like to see the defense play with an edge to them. And if they win 56-0 and they're missing that edge, I'm probably a little bit uncomfortable too. But that's the way it's going to be. I think it's a comfortable win this weekend. It's a game, that IU fans will probably complain about. Why are we playing UConn? We don't improve against UConn. Well, you played the big boy last week, and he didn't really do real well. So it's time to throttle it down a little bit, get a win, hopefully get healthy and things like that. But use this as a springboard into Big Ten play and into Michigan State. Final thoughts, TJ?
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing how Indiana responds. I think it's a game that has plenty of intrigue to see how IU comes out and performs. So I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully it'll be a nice day weather-wise. Seems like it might be kind of hot. Hopefully Indiana comes ready to play and puts on a show.
Yeah, that's another thing. They got to be ready to play as well. Otherwise, you're if you take it for granted, you're going to end up taking a loss. But
final thoughts on
this game is, you know, it's time. It's an attitude game, as you put it, TJ, so perfectly. It's just go in, take care of business, and we'll see where it lands. Hopefully it's a win. I expect them to win. I don't expect a large crowd. I think the bandwagon fans that have, you know, that stick around until the start of basketball season, I think that's pretty much, you know, they're in basketball mode now after last week. So, you know what, it's time to tighten it up a little bit and, have that me and the boys type of attitude. It's us against the world, and IU typically plays a little bit better and with a little bit more of an edge that way. So, you know, we'll see what they do. So, again, the game is at noon. It's a BTN broadcast at Memorial Stadium. BTN tailgate will be in Bloomington this week, so head on down early. It's kind of BTN's version of College Game Day. Jerry DiNardo, Howard Griffin, and Dave Redson will be down there. It's a fun time. It's always fun having a pregame show on campus. So I think IU's marketing as breakfast with BTN. So head on down there. It should be, I don't want to call it a casual Saturday, but it's another college football Saturday in Bloomington. as we kick off the second quarter of the IU football season and try to get their third win. TJ, thanks so much for joining me on the podcast. We'll be back next week, hopefully with a victorious recap and then preview the Old Brass Spittoon game.
Absolutely. Have a good week, everybody.
All right, that does it for our podcast tonight. Thank you for tuning in. You can follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. Visit www.HoosierHuddle.com for all your Indiana football news. I'm Sammy Jacobs. That was TJ Inman. We hope you tune in next week as well.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.